Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Knicks obviously start tomorrow night. We got into that a little bit earlier as far as the comments go with Mike Brown. I know you're excited about Mike Brown. I am not. I am curious, though, to see BT the offense here with the Knicks, because I do think it's going to be better. Although I don't believe, like, Cat is to me the biggest impact player here. I mean, we know what Brunson's going to do. We know what the ancillary pieces are going to do. Is Cat going to improve significantly under the offense of Mike Brown versus what he did against Tibbs? And then is that going to translate in the postseason? That, in fact, may be the biggest question, at least from my perspective, going into the Knicks season this year. And I don't think that he will.
I actually think the greatest beneficiary of this is going to be Mikal Bridges, who is going to love him or not sold on him. I get it, and I see both sides for sure. You know, a little soft for my liking with certain things, but when he's on, he does a lot of good things. I think this free flow is going to be very good for him. I think in terms of the Cat point that you bring up, you know, I don't know that we'll ever see a better version of Karl-Anthony Towns. Listen, the numbers were really good last year. He was a starting big on the All-Star team. He was what? Was he second or third team All-NBA? He had some great accolades there. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is a really good player with a ceiling. He's a little slow, he's a little sloppy, and he's a little soft for me. By the way, there's a million things that I love about him. That's my reservations about Karl-Anthony Towns. I'm not trying to just diss him, because I know he's a really good player and he brings a lot of value. The hope here, Sal, is that you get a little more pick and pop with him and Brunson, and that as time goes on, that Jalen Brunson is asked to do less and less and less leading up to the postseason.
Yeah, well, I mean, I expect that to be the case, because they're not going to have the heavy minutes in the regular season. That's in part of the design to have more depth than the Knicks had before. It's in part of, I'm sure, why they went away from Tom Thibodeau and went with Mike Brown. I just don't believe that it's going to work. Now, it's going to take a long time. We're going to be here, well, hopefully we'll be here enjoying the ride of the course of, you know, the regular Knicks season here with these games. Where usually we don't, I mean, I'm sorry.
But I got you.
But with the Knicks regular season games, we usually don't dive into that the way that we would this year. It's going to be important in the regular season this year because it's a new head coach. Last year was a little, all right, let's see what the new mix of players are going to do.
Yeah, and Cat was brought in like basically now.
Correct.
Like 2 weeks before the start of the season.
So
go figure it out, guys.
Later than normal. Right, they didn't have time to gel, which is in part of why I wanted to have Tibbs back, because I didn't think that it was fair to judge him solely on the new iteration of that Knicks team in just 1 year. But anyway, it'll be fun to digest and break down each game now, because there is a different look, a different feel with Mike Brown and the pieces that they have in what should be. Now, I'm not saying that they are going to win the championship. I don't even think they're getting to the NBA Finals. I feel like that's kind of the normal expectation. Well, at the very least, with the East wide open, the Knicks are going to be an NBA Finals team. I'm not seeing that. I still think the Cavs, who they play on opening night, can be very dangerous. I'm just not there yet. But those are the expectations. I mean, this should be a team that should go compete at the highest level to go win an NBA championship.
The Knicks are entering a very interesting point of analysis here. We're way past the cute little story of COVID with Tom Thibodeau willing, you know, Julius Randle and a bunch of nobodies to a playoff spot. That's gone. You know, obviously, the Knicks have ascended to a point where they're one of the premier teams in the Eastern Conference. That doesn't get anybody excited anymore. It's winner or that's it. you either win or you came up short. Now, if there's catastrophic injury or injuries, God forbid, that then that's a different point of analysis here. But, you know, to me, and there's a, you know, I think the Cavaliers would be a tough playoff sell because Garland's not healthy now. So there's things downstream that are going to get a little trickier. I mean, if the Knicks don't win like low 60s, like their eyes shut, then they get off to a bad start. I think the Knicks are going to obliterate the bad teams, and there's a lot of bad teams in the East, but they have not won anything together. Karl-Anthony Towns in the playoffs. I know he had some great moments. He still worries me a little bit. You know, they haven't played opening night yet. Mitchell Robinson's already might not play. Hasn't played at all, basically. I mean, they're doing maintenance nights with this guy, which is always terrifying. They got the pieces. And there's also some questions. I think the Knicks will be really good, but now the curtain goes up.
BT and Sal on the Fan. I just saw, too, was watching the ESPN scroll over here. I guess there was a report from Trey Wingo, total side note from the NBA. Trey Wingo said that the Dallas Cowboys trying to inquire about getting Max Crosby from the Raiders, one of the best defensive players in the league. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, if the Cowboys could add Crosby here, maybe Dallas can become something different. That, you know, Dallas right now 3-3. That's better than what people expected.
Now they got a tie as well, 3-3-1.
Dak plays. 3-3-1. Yes, nope. Play maybe better than expected. Dak Prescott is playing much better than anybody could have thought. And obviously, the defense for Dallas has been a big issue here. Trading Micah Parsons obviously didn't help that. But if they could get Crosby, I mean, he is a stud, dude. Now, again, I don't know if the Raiders are going to make him available at 2-5 and going nowhere. Maybe they would. Maybe they could get a haul back. Who knows? But that could change the landscape of not only the NFC East as it pertains to the Giants, but in general with the NFC.
And it's a move they got to make. I mean, you can't force the Raiders to trade him to you, but you can entice them enough where they eventually do. Because we're talking about, like, you know, the Giants getting a wide receiver, and we've had that conversation a few times. But at least if they don't, you can make the case, well, like, if I'm Joe Shane and they want too much for Jalen Waddle, I'm like, if I was running the team, I could say, I'm just getting going here with Jackson Dart. I need these draft picks to build out around him. Dak Prescott's not a kid. He's 30-something. You know, he's making a ton of money. The window's shutting here. And by the way, you know, Dak Prescott has done almost all of this without CeeDee Lamb, who just got back.
I know. He's been banged up. I know. Yeah. No, it's been impressive what he's done. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Whatever you want to discuss on this Tuesday in the final hour is fine with us. Steve is calling from Stamford, Connecticut. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Steve.
Show on the Fan.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
So, BT, we've gone through this before. I heard about the St. John's number one. You're going to be getting my UConn calls like you have all last year.
Bring it on. For the first time in years, I could say bring it on.
Today was Big East Media Day, right?
Yeah, Big East Media. Yep. First preseason poll, yep.
You could say bring it on, but as we talked about, there's only one team in the Big East that proves it once it comes to March.
I get it.
And that's the team in stores that goes back.
He's not wrong. Johnny's haven't won squat yet. They're loaded, but you got to win. I much respect for the UConn Huskies and Hurley, no doubt.
And they're going to be really good this year with Silas Demery Jr. now reminding me of Kristen Newton, a point guard, Braylon Mullins replacing Lee McNeely. Don't sleep on the Huskies.
I'm not. I just said that they're really good.
I'm about to sleep about Sleeping you talking about the Huskies. Can you get to the Knicks point, please? Jeez, come on.
Okay. My bad. So on the Knicks, I know you guys were talking about Mike Brown and what he's going to do offensively. This is where we all align, so I'm a huge Knicks fan. The one thing is I don't want to hear about what he's going to do offensively, and I understand the free-flowing offense and that Tibbs is a defensive coach and all of that stuff, but I want to see if Karl-Anthony Towns is going to make an improvement. It's not going to be – that man was lights out for us offensively. Mm-hmm. It's going to be can Mike Brown teach him to play the pick and roll? Can Mike Brown teach him not to sleep defensively?
No.
Can he be more of an impact in the middle?
No.
Those are the things we need to be talking about. Can Mike Brown bring?
Well, the answer is no.
Steve, I disagree with that.
If Tom Thibodeau couldn't unlock that, why would an offensive-minded coach in Mike Brown, who I liked if the Knicks hired, but no, the answer is no. He's
slow. I mean, I get it, and that's my concern. My concern was never offense with this
team. It should be offense. If you were paying attention, here's the reason why. Tom Thibodeau did not maximize Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns together last year. So you could say, well, offensively,
agreed,
they were pretty good.
Well,
so that's the point. Mike Brown's not going to come in here. And thanks for the call, Steve, and good luck
to
your
Steve.
Huskies.
We'll see you soon, buddy.
Johnnies. Yeah. Mike Brown is not going to come in here and make Karl-Anthony Towns.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
A defensive player? That's not what he is. If Tom Thibodeau couldn't do it, you're right, BT. Brown's not going to do it. So what can you do instead of that? And that's why the Knicks, I think, in part, went away from Tibbs, saying, well, he's not ever going to turn Cat into it. Nobody's going to turn Cat into a defensive player. So we need to maximize what this group of players can do offensively, which is something that did not happen last year.
I'm with you. I mean, listen, now you're going to see more, if he's healthy, more Mitch Robinson at the five, Cat at the four. You saw a little bit of that a year ago when Tom Thibodeau obviously had to make some adjustments
here. I want to play him on the perimeter. We've talked about that
last year.
You've always
said that.
Yeah, I know.
You've said that a lot here.
Because he's an elite shooter for a big.
There's no doubt. He could stroke him. He could shoot. I mean, 25 points a game, a ton of rebounds. Think about this, guys. Think about when the Knicks were at the lowest of lows, and we said to you, hey, you know, you get somebody, you know, in a couple of years, say if you didn't know who Cat was, in a couple of years, you're going to have a 7-foot-1 big who averages 25 points a game, is 82-83% from the line, which is money for a guard, let alone a big. Patrick wasn't that. And 42-43% from behind the arc in the modern NBA.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding me? I mean, and that's what he is. Those are the stats that I just recited. The problem is that it's not a big problem because the good is much more than the bad with Cat. But the numbers are one thing, and then you watch him play. And you watch him trying to go to the rim against the Pistons. And I know he had the monster three, I get it. Like double pumping against smaller guys and getting pushed off his spot and not protecting the rim. He's not a perfect player. If he was, he'd be one of the three greatest centers in the history of basketball if he was a defender.
He'd be an NBA champion if he was. He's that big. He's that skilled for that size.
Yeah.
That if he were buttoned up and doing all those things, he would be an NBA champion.
If he was Patrick Ewing defensively, he'd be a champion.
He's been surrounded by enough talent, so where he's been part of the problem in the postseason, both here in New York and in Minnesota.
And true. And he could not, I don't mean the last year or so when they got there, but he was really unable to elevate the Timberwolves from a horrendous team to anything that was relevant. I mean, he had a lot of lean years there. It's one thing to do it if you're on a bad baseball team. When you're a star and the first overall pick and you're on a basketball team and you're not getting to the playoffs with eight in each conference, how did you impact the bottom line?
And for the record, I like Towns. He made some tough buckets. The problem is too many times he tried to take over, the out of control ball carrying into the paint.
The elbows flipped. That drove me nuts, dude.
No, just stick to your strengths. So I'm hoping that Mike Brown could have him playing where he needs to be playing, which to me would be more on the perimeter. Matt is calling from Mayapack. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
I'm good. So what I wanted to bring up was the Knicks. I'm tired of the whole Tom Thibodeau victim card because, I mean, after watching him for the amount of years, and then you look back at last year, they had almost 950 minutes with that starting five, which is almost two seasons worth, and he still couldn't unlock the combo between Brunson and Cat. So I just wanted to hear your take on, like, why there's still a victim Tibbs conversation when, at the end of the day, he had almost two seasons worth.
I'll tell you why, Matt. I got an answer for you. I got an answer for you. Good call. It really is a good question. Now, I'm not doing that. Number one, he's got $30 million coming to him, and he's parachuting in. He was at St. John's practice, up at UConn practice, at the Celtics practice. Tom Thibodeau's good. Trust me. The reason why I think he does get some sympathy from some or treated unfairly is because the Knicks were so wretched that there's almost an elevation based on the rightful appreciation of what he gave us after years of darkness.
Yeah, for me, it's not even about that. It's not about a victim Tibbs. He's the better coach. It's simple. I believe Tom Thibodeau is light years better as a head coach than Mike Brown. Now, we could disagree on that. We can see what happens with the Knicks. But I believe Tom Thibodeau does things as an NBA head coach that Mike Brown could only dream of doing. So that's why I don't like it. I don't feel bad for Tibbs. I think the Knicks screwed up. The team that I care about, I think they screwed up hiring a coach who I know is a proven commodity and built this team to where they need to be. And you can give me all the numbers you want. He was here with one season with these guys, and they weren't even fully healthy until Mitchell Robinson came back toward the end of the year. So do the math on that. Like, he didn't have nearly two seasons. He didn't even have one full season with this group. That's it, but it's not about, you know, sympathy or victim Tibbs. He's going to be fine, to your point. I just believe he's a better head coach. So why in the world would I be on board with firing the guy who I believe is a better head coach for a guy who's less than? Even though I understand that the offense from Mike Brown should upgrade this team and maximize their potential to their hope to a championship level. I just don't think it's going to get there because I don't think that they have the right pieces around Jalen Brunson.
This is a complicated, even though you know where I stand, but an analysis for me because I've got great respect for Tom and I know he's good. The thing that I had to reconcile a while ago, and I did, I don't think he's going to be great. Like, I don't think there's a next level to Tom Thibodeau, and I like to win. It's bad enough the Jets can't even score a touchdown. I'd like to get a Knicks championship at some point, and the more and they've got the horses to do it. And the more I watch Tom Thibodeau, whether it's, and you guys know this, Sal, you too, we watch them too many times, guys red hot, takes them out. Too many times, he just doesn't utilize the bench, which makes you tired, and guys get banged up, whether it was OG 2 years ago, whether it's, I'm not going to say it's Mitchell Robinson, I think he just has a bad body with that. But too many guys get jacked up, you know, Josh Hart playing 40 minutes a night. Like, he never adjusted. So to me, Tom Thibodeau's greatest strength, going back for the majority of his career, was defense. It's now an offensive league. So what he was best at is no longer as important because now you need more advanced offensive philosophies, which Mike Brown has, and Tom does not.
See, that's where we disagree.
There's nothing to disagree about. He's an elite offensive coach. Nothing to debate.
I think he's a good head coach.
But that's different than saying he's not a good offensive coach. That's what he's good at.
You could say all those things about Tibbs, and then I could say, fair enough, who's the guy that you're bringing in? And they chose Mike Brown. And by the way, they chose Mike Brown after basically asking every team in the NBA to interview their head coach. I mean, how many guys do the Knicks need to get to before they finally settled on Mike Brown, who by his own former player's admission, even if it's just one, I bet you more, is a pushover and is friendly and tries to be too player-friendly. Like, I don't get behind that. Offensively, sure, I need to see it. I want to see what he does with this elite offensive group that the Knicks have. We said it last year. It pertains true this year. It's the best or the most talented offensive team in the history of the New York Knicks franchise. Let's see it. Mike Brown's an offensive guru and he's a good coach. Then they better go out there and win 60-plus games and do it in the postseason and at the very least get to an NBA Finals.
I'm going to beat you here. I mean, we think that Dable's seat is hot. If Mike Brown's not rolling with this group, and with these expectations and with, you know, Jason Tatum out and injuries across the board in the East, he's going to get crushed. And I will lead the crushing if I don't see what I like, I promise you. But there's a couple of different things here. Will they win a championship? I don't know. We could debate that. Has he been an elite offensive coach? Yes. Like, that's what he does. Do I think it was time for a new voice? I do. That's why I say it's complicated with Tom Thibodeau, because I know he's really good. And the other thing that's going to be interesting, now, he's got $30 million, so there's buyout stuff, whatever, and offset language. Nobody even tried to hire Tom Thibodeau. Now, it was late in the coaching cycle. I get that. There's only so many openings here. And he's going around, you know, doing some coaching clinics now, and people respect his knowledge. But if somebody gets fired for a team that was supposed to be good this year, do they bring in Tom Thibodeau? I don't think that they do. And if they don't, that says one thing. If they do, well, maybe he's got more value than I perceive him to have around the league right now.
He's making a rounds with what every basketball team that's functioning is bringing him in for some kind of advice. So I don't think it's a team's league. I don't think the league looks at Tibbs and says, well, he can't coach anymore.
I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that at all. But Tom Thibodeau's not like 77 or 78 years old. He's in his early 60s. So he was on the open market. His team won a lot of games. Nobody tried to hire him. That's just a fact. Yeah. If you have an NFL coach who's out there who's winning 10, 11, 12 games a year, even if they don't get to the Super Bowl, but they're getting to the divisional round or conference championship, I promise you that guy's getting called. Like somebody's going to call that guy to hire him. That's why I bring up, again, $30 million is a lot of team to try to buy out. I don't know it very well might be the deterrent, just the financial aspect. And I think Tom is really good. I think the game's passed him by a little bit, but that's just my opinion.
BT and Sal on the Fan, more calls we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.